The subject of my talk today is the fourth order Ginzburg-Landau model. I should mention that this work is based on my PhD thesis supervised by Professor Jeremy Quaster. Why are we interested in surface diffusion and in building these models? So there is a technological process called molecular beam epitaxy that people use to build computer chips or electronic devices. And what they do, they spray a layer with a beam of silicon atoms. Here is a layer built with this molecular beam epitaxy process. So when an atom arrives on the surface, it doesn't stick at the first contact point, and eventually it starts walking on the surface. And if two atoms meet together, sometimes they stick together. It happens that we will see some islands forming on the layer. And if the heights of these islands are quite big, we will have a rough surface on the macroscopic scale. And so we will have a chip with a surface which is not smooth and it doesn't have very good contact properties. And we want to avoid this. So we are interested in understanding what's going on in this technological process. There are three phenomena that are going on. One is deposition, so an atom stick on the surface. Another one is surface diffusion, an atom starts to walk on the surface, and then sometimes an atom can jump out of the surface. The first and the third phenomena are pretty well understood. People are mainly interested in the second one, in surface diffusion, and they want to understand how this surface diffusion affects the roughness of the surface. To do that, they either run experiments or they build models and eventually study them theoretically. The advantage of studying theoretically a model is that you don't have a side effect. So solid-on-solid model is a model for surface diffusion. What we have a surface which has n sides, and the last lattice of this n sides is periodic. The particles jump on this surface, no particle is born, no particle dies, and a particle may jump from the side n to the first side. I will call HIN the height of the surface at the side I over N, and SIN is the difference between two consecutive heights, or is the slope of the surface at the side I over N. Note that if we know all the slopes and the first height of the surface, we can get all the heights of the surface. A configuration for this model is the vector of the heights or the vector of the slopes. Note that they take values, they take integer values. To each configuration, we associate an energy, which is given by this formula, V some function, which has to be positive, of course, and note that the energy depends just on the slope of the surface. So we would like to define a dynamics on this configuration so that if initially we have two surfaces with the same slope, at a later time we will observe two surfaces with the same slope. So the two surfaces with the same slope initially will evolve in the same way. Because this is a microscopic model, and we don't know what's going on the microscopic scale, the model will involve some randomness. So really the dynamics will be given by a Markov process. So, each particle on the surface, let's say we have a particle at position I, has two choices, to go to the left or to the right, with a certain probability. Also, the time between two jumps of a particle, we assume to have exponential distribution with a certain intensity. And if we multiply this intensity with the probability of going to a new position, we get the rate. Note that this rate here, it involves the energy of the initial configuration and the energy of the forward configuration. So therefore, the rate depends just on the slopes. So really, the quantity that interests us in this model is the vector of the slopes and not the vector of the height. Here is how a configuration of the slopes is updated if the particle moves to the right. And here is how a configuration of slopes is updated if the particle moves to the left. Note that the configuration of slopes is updated by adding 1, negative 2, and 1. So what I did so far, I define a process, SNT. So S, let's say SN1T is the slope time t at the site 1 over n. This one is a Markov process. In our case, it's a jump process. It has as equilibrium measure this measure with this density. And it preserves the sum of the slopes. So the law of this Markov process, what does, it assigns a certain probability to each evolution of the system. And now we fix a time, and we define the empirical distribution at the time t to be a random measure which has mass SNi over n at the position I over n. So each realization of the empirical distribution is a measure on 0, 1. And this is how the measure acts on a test function. Note that if we know the empirical distribution, then we know the vector of the slope. There is one more thing that we have to remark here. The time here was speeded up by a factor n to the 4. And I would like to explain why is this so. So what we want to do is we want to have a dynamics on the microscopic scale so that we observe a dynamics on the macro scale. Now imagine that we imagine an astronaut on the moon, and if the astronaut looks at the Earth, what he sees is a static picture. On the other hand, for us who live in Toronto, the picture is not static. You can look at the car running on the highway, and the picture is dynamic. But the speed of the car is so small compared to the distance between Earth and Moon that it's impossible for the astronaut to see the car. So we need to have an accelerated motion on the microscopic scale if we want to observe a motion on the macro scale. This was my reason for accelerating time. Okay, so what really do we want to prove about this model? We will say that the sequence of empirical distribution corresponds to a certain profile S. If the probability of this event goes to zero, or in other words, the sequence of this empirical distribution converges weakly in probability towards a measure, here is a deterministic measure with this density. So we will assume that initially we have a sequence of empirical distribution that corresponds to a certain profile. And this is the profile that we observe on the macroscopic scale. We would like to show that at a later time, the sequence of empirical distribution corresponds to another profile, STU. And since the Markovian evolution carries the initial empirical distribution into the later empirical distribution, a natural question to ask is, what is the dynamics that makes S0U to evolve into STU? In general, what happens is that STU is the solution of a certain equation, of a deterministic equation. And of course, we would like to know the form of this equation. And in case that this equation exists, we call it the hydrodynamic scaling limit of the model. Note that as n goes to infinity, what happens, the distance between particles goes to zero. So these profiles, S0U and STU, should be the profiles that we observe on the macroscopic scale. So we are interested in knowing what exactly is this equation. And if we can solve the equation, we know the evolution of the surface, and eventually we know if it's rough or flat. One more thing to say is, if the sequence of empirical distribution converges toward this profile, or corresponds to this profile, this is a result like a law of large numbers. So if the law of large numbers is valid at the beginning, we would like to show that the law of large numbers is valid at the later time. Why is it difficult to prove a result like this? If you look carefully to the definition of the empirical distribution, you see that the empirical distribution is an average of variables which are not independent. There is an interaction among them. So we want to prove a law of large numbers where the variables are not independent, and that's why it's very difficult to derive results like this. So a continuum version of the solid-on-solid model is Ginzburg-Landa model. In this model, we have also a surface with n sides. The lattice of the sides is periodic. H and I is the height of the surface at the side I over n. S and I is the slope of the surface. Now, we allow the height to take real values. So the vector of the height is a vector in Rn. Also, the vector of the slopes is a vector in Rn. Each configuration has an energy associated, given by this formula. Note that the function V that we consider in the energy is a quadratic function. Also, the energy depends just on the slope of the configuration. And on this configuration, we will define the slope process, which is a reversible Markov process. It will be a diffusion process which has as equilibrium this measure with this density. And we require that it preserves the sum of the slopes. To define a diffusion process, we need to specify the generator of the process, which in our case is a symmetric operator given by this quadratic form. Note that in this quadratic form, we have these vector fields, XIF, which acts in the direction 1, negative 2, and 1. And this is the change in a slope configuration in the solid-on-solid model. The stochastic differential equation for this diffusion process has this form. And The first part, note that is the discrete Laplacian of an object omega that we call microscopic current, and the second part is a martingale. If we consider this function A to be one, to be constant, it happens that the current is the gradient in our case is the Laplacian of S. And these models, they are called gradient models, and it's quite easy to compute the hydrodynamic scaling limit. We are mainly interested in the case where the function A is not constant, so we are faced with a non-gradient model. So the main result of my thesis is that the Ginzburg-Landau model has a hydrodynamic scaling limit, and this hydrodynamic scaling limit is given by this fourth order nonlinear equation, which is here. And note that this equation involves a coefficient, a hat, which is called the transport coefficient and is given by this variational formula. So far, we know that this equation has a solution, but we don't know if the solution is unique. The solution has to be in the weak sense. Now, of course, if this equation, which is the hydrodynamic scaling limit, is the equation for the evolution of the slope of the surface on the macroscopic scale, if we integrate this equation, we get the evolution equation for the height profile, which also has four forces. Just to say a few words about the proof for the hydrodynamic scaling limit. So we would like to show that the model has the limit of the model is a certain deterministic PDE. If this is the case, then we should observe a certain PDE on the microscopic scale. So to see what this microscopic version of the PDE is, we need to study the infinitesimal change in the empirical distribution. Because the first, so we can integrate twice and move two derivatives on the test function, but we cannot integrate two more times. Varadhan's idea to find hydrodynamic scaling limits of a non-gradient model is to prove that this microscopic object is a multiple of a discrete Laplacian plus something else. If that is the case, we can integrate two more times, and so we have some negligible term that eventually will go to zero. And so we are able to show that the limit of the model is going to be given by an equation like this. There is a very technical point in showing that this microscopic object is the sum of a discrete Laplacian plus something else. And to prove that, we need to show that a certain Hilbert space, the space of exact function, has codimension 1 inside of the space of closed function. These two Hilbert spaces, they are subspaces of the space of square integrable function defined on Rz with a measure that has Gaussian marginal. And the closed function are prescribed by this formula here, where xi is the vector field, tau I is the shift I times. And the exact function are given by this formula, so they are here note that we have an infinite sum, but because we assume that G is a cylinder function, all but finitely many terms in this sum are zero, so the sum actually makes sense. So mainly what we have to do is to show that the space of closed function decomposes into one direction and the space of exact function. To prove this, we use the fact that this L2 space is the symmetric Fock space of the square summable sequences. And so the Fock space decomposes into a sum of chaoses. Now, also this space has a very nice basis formed by Hermite polynomials. So what we do, we take a closed function and we expand this function into a Fourier series. We do the same thing for an exact function, and then we study the properties of the Fourier coefficient. If we do this, then we arrive at the following reformulation of the problem. So we have this operator that is like a discrete directional derivative in the direction 1, 1, 1. It acts on functions defined on the lattice with a certain symmetries, and it gives us functions defined on the lattice with certain symmetries. Now, suppose we have a function which is integrable, which is square integrable, and this function is in the image of this operator. The question is, can we find a sequence of compactly supported functions defined on the lattice so that ACK converges to F? So the idea is to take the function C here that solves the equation F hat equal AC and eventually construct a cutoff function that will give us a compactly supported function. Here I would like to mention some of my future work. So I would like to establish the hydrodynamic scaling limit for the four-order Gibbs-Lambda model when the energy is not given by a quadratic function. Also, I would like to establish the hydrodynamic scaling limit of the discrete solid-on-solid model. Another problem is to analyze the properties of the solution of the nonlinear equation, which is the scaling limit of the model, and eventually calculate the equilibrium and non-equilibrium fluctuations from the hydrodynamic scaling limit for the Ginzburg-Lambda model. And there are other microscopic models that I would like to, for surface evolution, that I would like to investigate. Thank you very much.